You're listening to the John C. Scott Political Forum. This podcast is a Bustos Media production on The Voice. Be sure to subscribe wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts.
We take you to winter, 1776.
Message for General Washington.
Yes, Captain.
Colonel Lee says the Redcoats are encamped just across the river at Trenton, sir.
We need to get the boats down to the Delaware, but the wagons are too noisy. What to do?
We can grease your modern car truck axles, change the oil, and do brakes, belts, and hoses on all brands. Call 323-8650. PerfectionAutoWorks.com.
Welcome to the John C. Scott Political Forum. John C. Scott is hosting one of the longest-running political talk shows in Arizona. This is the John C. Scott Political Forum on KVOI AM 1030, The Voice. And now, John C. Scott.
Thank you. Good afternoon. It's a Saturday afternoon. Glad you could join us for this political forum. Jeff Rogers will be my first guest. He is the former chair of the Democratic Party in Pima County, one of the best defense lawyers in all of America. Men will go to Mexico, where the massacre occurred, as Mormons were killed, women and children, just south of the border in Sonora. Keith Rosenblum, our Mexico reporter, talks about what now. Larry Bodine will be with us from Blog for Arizona. We've got a great show. Let's go to Jeff Rogers, former chair of the Democratic Party. Jeff, welcome to the show. Glad you could join us.
Glad to be here.
Well, you got more concrete, the testimony in the impeachment inquiry. More solid Republicans, though, are sticking with the president. How did you see this unfold? The Republicans are steadfast in their support of Trump no matter what.
Well, I think what you're seeing is that they're just terrified of being primaried from the right and having somebody, and you can use former governor of South Carolina, Mark Sanford, as a great example. When he came out against Trump and some of his policies, and he voted for his policies most of the time, he was then primaried. And the primary challenger beat him, sending him home. And after two terms in Congress, and then person who unseated him was so radical that she lost to a Democrat. And so those are the kind of scenarios that I think a lot of these Republican congressmen are looking at right now. And then there are people like Lindsey Graham who just had their spine surgically removed since John McCain's death. And so I don't think we're going to see much standing up for him. I think. You know, privately, you know, we hear that privately a lot of these Republicans are very uncomfortable with some of the things Trump has done here. And it's quite clear that there was a quid pro quo in two different areas. One was we're not going to release the almost $400 million in military aid, which Ukraine needed desperately, unless you start an investigation of, you know, of this imaginary conspiracy theory of a Democratic server being in the Ukraine in 2016, and then an investigation of Joe Biden's son, and which everyone has said there's nothing, there's no there. And then the other one involved whether or not the Ukrainian president would be able to get an audience at the White House with President Trump to enhance his standing in his country and maybe the world, and they weren't going to do that unless the investigation was started. And so we now know from multiple sources, including this Sondheim, who is the European Union representative from the United States, or the ambassador. And he basically is a mega millionaire who is in the hotel industry in the Pacific Northwest. And he paid $1 million to the inauguration fund of President Trump, and that somehow seems to be what he purchased his ambassadorship with. And having been the ambassador, he then gave a statement to Congress, a long deposition, and lo and behold, after several people contradicted what he said, he came in and added a letter and a three-page addendum in which he said quite clearly there was a quid pro quo and that they weren't going to get either the money for the military, or they were not going to get the audience with the president unless they played ball and did the investigation of Biden and made it public. So we know that there was a quid pro quo, which is what the Republicans have been saying did not occur over and over again. They all repeat those same three Latin words, now they're hit in the face with Trump's own people saying, yes, absolutely, there was. And then more people came in, including Admiral Zinman, who is an unimpeachable character, and said, yes, it was his understanding that they were putting pressure on them. And now we're starting to see Mick Mulvaney, who first even admitted it and said, oh, it goes on all the time, and then tried to walk that back. And I think we're going to start to see them looking for fall guys. And I think Giuliani and Mulvaney are emerging as the fall guys who suddenly Trump's going to one day walk up to I guess he gives most of his pressers now at the helicopter. He'll start saying, barely knew these guys. I think that's going to be the next thing we hear from him.
You know, Jeff, we know there's going to be enough votes in the House to impeach the president. It'll go to the Senate. Probably not enough votes to impeach the president in the upper chamber. So how does that leave us in 2020 in the campaign for another term for Donald Trump? Stronger as Democrats, weaker as Democrats? What do you think?
I think it'll leave Democrats stronger, and I think it'll particularly leave us stronger if there are a few votes in the Republican Party to remove him. And I believe there very well may. Susan Collins is under a great deal of pressure back home if she wants to have any prayer of winning. Lisa Murkowski's been a pretty courageous and independent Republican for a long, long time, voted against the repeal of Obamacare, as did Collins. And I think Mitt Romney is practically the surest thing to a vote to remove that there can be. If you suddenly cross the line of 50 votes and it looks like you have a majority but not the two-thirds, it starts to look pretty bad for the president. And we may see some more defections as these public hearings go. The problem the Democrats have is sort of the same problem they had, but slightly to a lesser degree, in the Mueller. And that is that some of this stuff is pretty complicated, and you need to simplify this story. It's almost like they need to bring in a movie director to basically set up and lay out the facts of this case. Trial lawyers do that too in a jury trial, and that's, you know, the closest thing you're going to have to that is you're going to have something that simply and straightforwardly plots out the course of conduct, and then you present corroborating evidence from other witnesses, and then suddenly the public begins, because these are all going to be public hearings now starting Wednesday, and the public gets to start to hear this stuff live testimony. And I can remember back when I was watching it in 1974, it was dramatic testimony, and it was the first time that the NPR televised live from Congress, and they're going to do it again this time, and I'm sure we're going to see other television stations doing it as well. So this could be some rather dramatic testimony, and some of these people really have it out for Trump, because of what he's done to the State Department and the professional diplomatic services.
Sean is a caller to our show. Sean, you're with Jeff Rogers, former chair of the Democratic Party. Go ahead, Sean.
Jeff, I'm going back a long ways, but you talked about somebody buying their way through money to get influence in the U.S. government and get themselves a position. I guess it's an ambassadorship to Luxembourg or whatever.
Sean, that happens all the time under both.
Oh, really? I'm brand new to this game, yeah. Jeff. I'm sorry. But you were complaining about it like it's changed.
Yeah.
That goes back to freaking 1789, Jeff.
It goes back that far, I'm sure. And I'm sure there are lots of people like that who made huge contributions and then end up in positions that diplomats like that, and it happens in both parties. You're absolutely right, Sean.
I mean, it's not fair to say because of Donald Trump, this guy just got to go over. And of course, now if you only give him $30,000, you end up in Somalia. But if you give him $700,000, yeah, you get to go to Luxembourg, Switzerland.
Well, Sean,
you might be in France or something.
But $1 million gets you into the European Community. I don't know what it would take to get into London.
I'm using low numbers. Sorry, Jeff. I apologize.
Sean, I'm telling you, as a soon-to-be Powerball winner, I'm putting as much money as it takes to get to the Seychelles Islands as their new ambassador. So you have to pick and choose.
I want you in Tahiti, John, because I think you need to work on your tan, brother.
You haven't seen the Seychelles then.
No, the tan. Tahiti, baby. I want John C. Scott for Tahiti.
That's probably a good idea. Thank you. All right, John, appreciate your call. Thank you. Jeff, this is going to unfold all the way through next year. How's that going to affect these primaries? How's it going to affect state by state? What are the effects of the impeachment on the campaigns?
Well, I'm not sure it's going to have an extraordinary effect on the campaigns. Most all of the candidates are on board for impeachment. I mean, Tom Steyer, it's his sole issue. I mean, he's big on climate change, too, but he's it's his big issue is impeachment of the president. So I don't think it's going to have an extraordinary effect on the actual primaries. I think there are other things that are going to affect those primaries a lot more. And, you know, in a Democratic primary, it's, you know, it's kind of coming down to, do you really want to win or do you really want to push these ideological issues? It's, you know, getting to be, there's a column by Rahm Emanuel in either the Post or the Atlantic, I can't remember which today, that talks about how, you know, the Democrats can't go so far left afield that they give up this chance to win. And then he points out that in both 2018 and these most recent elections, within the last couple of weeks, why Democrats have won is that they haven't gone out on the ideological edge. These were pragmatic candidates who stuck to the center and looked at the issues that voters wanted to hear about. And while voters are really concerned about health care, when you get to a general election, you're not going to find more than 30% of the people who support Medicare for All mandatory take your insurance away to get it. That's just, you know, that's a non-starter for most people. And if we've got a candidate that's one of their top concerns, we're going to lose.
Let's talk about Bloomberg in this race and how that may change the attitude of these candidates to what you exactly said. How far left can I go without falling off the edge of the cliff?
Well, here's I think Bloomberg was originally backing Biden, but I think he has correctly, you know, figured out that Biden has turned out to be a bit of a weaker candidate than we thought he would be. I mean, he embraces the middle road of the Democratic Party, but he's just doesn't seem as vigorous as he could be. And Bloomberg, while he's the same age, appears to have a little bit more vigorous health mentally and physically. And so I think he's decided that if Biden's going to implode, or that he's going to be there to scoop up the Biden supporters. But the other thing that could happen here is that, you know, you could see, you know, him cutting into Biden's people and Buttigieg's, who's also turned out to be a pretty moderate voice for the party, and that they could start splitting up that vote and sending Sanders and Warren up into the first and second places.
Well, O'Rourke's gone, and who's next to fall off the cliff here, do you think?
Well, I hate to see it, but it's probably going to be Bennett.
I think you're right.
The senator from Colorado, and I like him.
I do too.
He's another moderate voice for change, but he's just not getting any traction. And I think Klobuchar's in it for a while. I'd sure like to see Tulsi Gabbard, you know, drift off, fall off the edge there. But she seems to have picked up just enough support to kind of stay in the game.
What about Harris?
Harris has gone from one of the leading contenders to typically in fifth or sixth place now. She's just really petered out, and I'm not quite sure I can put my finger on exactly why. I know there are people of us in the criminal justice system who really are critical of some of her work as a prosecutor, both as a district attorney in San Francisco and as the attorney general. She defended a lot of prosecutorial misconduct and had a lot of harsh policies that tended to fall, the brunt of which fell upon poor people and people of color. And so, you know, there's that problem with her from some of us, you know, people who are really aware of that past. She just has seemed to have lost the early traction that she had.
You know, to watch Trump get booed in public is something we haven't seen before. That's somewhat of a turnaround, is it not? He goes to the World Series, he gets booed, walks into other locations. You wouldn't think he would suffer some kind of outrageous booing, but he got it all over the place. What is that saying? Well, there's a large number of people going, I don't like this guy.
Well, it's because he keeps himself in a bubble. You know, I mean, he rarely appears in public unless it is a specifically selected crowd, his crowds, at his events, and that's it. He won't appear in general public circumstances. And I wonder what's going to happen at the LSU-Alabama game today. I mean, you know, it's not exactly the bastion of liberalism down there, but you know, I expect he's going to get a fair amount of booze down there, even though that crowd would be a pretty highly Republican crowd. But I bet he's going to get a few boos, and that's, we'll see how he reacts to that.
Let's talk about Kyrsten Sinema, our state, our United States senator, and her leaning to the right with the Republicans and voting with them time and time again, which has angered a great many Democrats that got her elected. What about her?
Well, you know, we knew that Kyrsten Sinema was not going to be our most progressive senator of all time. She was a compromise in many of us' minds, but we knew we had to make that compromise to win the Senate seat, and I would probably do it all over again. But I don't think we anticipated just how bad she could be. And she's particularly been bad on some of these horrible judges that Trump has appointed, many of whom the American Bar Association says are completely unqualified to be a judge of anything, you know, even a superior court or anywhere else. So I'm particularly disappointed in those areas and in some of the cabinet positions where she's voted for Trump nominees. And I can't imagine what she's thinking, but I can tell you that she better start doing better, because if we take the Senate and win the presidency, I can guarantee you she's going to have a very tough primary next time around here in Arizona.
How strong does Kelly look at the moment as we move into the end of the year?
Well, I won't say he looks invincible, but he's getting mighty close in my mind. McSally has always been such a waffler and avoided the press and avoided comments, avoided taking positions, and foolishly wrapped herself around Donald Trump. And I think that's all going to hurt her. And I'm sure that it'll be a money battle, and we'll probably see more money spent in that race than in any statewide race in the history of Arizona. But I'm sure there's going to be independent groups coming in to attack Kelly. But there's not a lot to attack there. I mean, he's not like a flaming liberal that you can attack on those grounds. And certainly he's got a stellar military history and a history as an astronaut that are, you know, beyond reproach. So there's not a lot of mud you can throw on him that's going to stick. So I'm pretty confident in that seat. I think, Arizona's going to do our part to get the Senate back.
All right, very quickly, let's put this city council and mayor's race to bed here one final time. We know that there should be, in my mind, an asterisk by the name of this new mayor of our town, Regina Romero, the Ward 1 council person. She obviously was able to see being raised on her behalf third parties out of the city of Tucson, perhaps as much as $1 million to help her defeat Steve Farley in the Democratic primary for mayor. And then getting matching funds for the money that was left over. Is this city funding mechanism broken, or is it just abused, or is it just the way it's going to be from now on? And beware. Where are we going with this? Because I'm going to tell you there's something wrong with that whole thing, the way it came down. It was just wrong. Dark money's dark money. I don't care whether it's Democratic dark money or Republican dark money. It's still dark money.
Well, I tell you what, you know, I would be jumping up and down if the home builders, the car dealers, the realtors, and the Southern Arizona Leadership Council pumped hundreds of thousands of dollars, you know, or up to $1 million into a council seat or a mayoral primary. I would be outraged. And I want to tell you, I'm equally outraged to see groups that I have supported throughout my entire career do the same thing. I mean, it's an abomination. And I don't know if we can revisit it. There are problems with certain Supreme Court decisions that affect this. They struck down part of our clean elections law that allowed clean elections people running on clean elections to get additional money if their opponent running not clean raised, you know, large amounts of cash. And that part was struck down by the U.S. Supreme Court. So we're going to have to be very careful as we explore the options. But, you know, I think it was particularly disingenuous for both those groups and for Mayor to be soon Romero to talk about running clean constantly, knowing that these hundreds of thousands of dollars were being spent on her behalf. Some of them even running disingenuous ads saying, support the one candidate running clean, paid for by one of those private groups. So, you know, I'm disappointed all around in that. And I hope she turns out to be a great mayor, but we do need to revisit, you know, how we got here and what happened in that primary and even in the general election. A lot more money was spent there as well to get her across the finish line. So, you know, I think it's something we need to think about and have a conversation citywide about whether or not, you know, otherwise maybe we don't even need this clean elections for the city. It shocked me that Tom Volge, the creator of this system, started off endorsing her. I don't know if he ever changed his mind because she was the only one who was, quote, running clean. And then we saw what happened. And I have to imagine he's scratching his head going, wow, did I really, really mean that? It's definitely a subject that I'd like to see us revisit.
Well, I think that's the correct position. I really, truly do. I think that's courageous, too. I mean, a lot of Democrats say, well, we don't care. We won, and that's all we care about. I think you should care about how you win, too. I think that's important. Jeff Rogers, yeah. Thanks.
You're welcome.
All right, great to talk with you. Have a great weekend. I appreciate you spending part of yours with us.
You too, John. Thanks.
Thanks. Jeff Rogers, former chair of the Democratic Party, one of the best defense lawyers in all of America. You're in trouble? You need a lawyer? You can't do any better than this guy. You just can't. This guy is brilliant. Absolutely brilliant. And if I ever got in trouble, that's the first call I'd make. And that would be the smartest thing I'd ever done after probably doing something stupid. All right, we're going to be back in just a moment with the John C. Scott Political Forum. This portion of the John C. Scott Talk Show originates from the Perfection Auto Works Studio. By the way, Tucson Map and Flag announced its concierge service. Although the Tucson Map and Flag store that we knew and loved is now closed, Tucson Map and Flag is open during business hours on your phone. Call Charles Smith, the American flag expert, at 887-4234. Order your American-made flag at a great price. Almost any size is available. Travel maps to most of the world available as well. Now, the concierge service of Tucson Map and Flag, a phone call away. Call Charles Smith, 887-4234, and place your order. Tucson Map and Flag, sharing your pride in America with a display of America's most cherished symbol. Call 887-4234.
And now you can feel a new sense of home and a place for your family and guests during this very special time of the year. We invite you to experience the true pleasure of shopping at Southern Arizona's largest selection of pre-owned and new quality furniture and accessories. You must visit the two neighborhood Homestyle Gallery locations, one at 1010 South Wilmot Road and the second at 2950 West Ina Road. Both stores are filled with over 15,000 square feet of beautiful furniture. Here you will find sofas and love seats, chairs and sectionals, beautiful dining sets and more. There's comfortable bedroom sets, dressers and nightstands, modern, traditional and antique. You'll find brands of Thomasville, Lazy Boy, Copenhagen, Broyhill, Bassett and more. Consignment of fine furniture at Homestyle Galleries is an opportunity to turn your once-loved furniture into cash. Call the consignment hotline at Homestyle Galleries, 572-9870. Homestyle Galleries at 1010 South Wilmot and 2950 West Ina Road. Open 7 days a week.
Together they brought a bit of France to the heart of Tucson. Guini's French Cafe and La Baguette Bakery at Prince and Campbell have become a gathering place for Tucsonans who love great bread and wonderful food. The bread and the pastries of La Baguette Bakery have become a Tucson favorite. And Guini's French Cafe offers a casual atmosphere and delightful French cuisine at moderate prices. Guini's is just perfect for breakfast and lunch, offering specialty coffees, lattes, French wine, cocktails, imported beer, and a touch of France in Tucson. And of course, open all day and night, Friday and Saturday until 9 p.m., for happy hour and dinner. Sunday brunch at 2 o'clock. Guini's French Cafe and La Baguette Bakery in the Safeway Center at Prince and Campbell have become Tucson's destination to dine.
Save 40% on your dry cleaning bill at Tom Roof Cleaners at Fort Lowland Country Club. Mention John C. Scott on Saturdays and Sundays and you'll save 40% on your dry cleaning bill. Drop off your wash and fold clothes and pay only 90 cents per pound. Tom Roof Cleaners reminds you that every garment is clean with using the patented Green Earth Cleaning System. The Green Earth Cleaning System leaves every garment soft and smooth to the touch without a dry cleaning smell. Mention John C. Scott at Tom Roof Cleaners Saturday and Sunday and save 40% off your dry cleaning bill. Tom Roof Cleaners at Fort Lowland Country Club.
Long ago, a beautiful ship named the Mayflower sailed towards the New World. At about mid-ocean, the main spar cracked. Then came a voice from below decks.
I can fix that, Governor.
And so the legend goes that almost 400 years ago, the ancestors of Mike Emery came over on the Mayflower and began fixing things. If you're looking for a mechanic about whom you can give Thanksgiving, call 323-8650. That's 323-8650. Perfection Auto Works.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to the John C. Scott Show. Here's a personal appeal for you to join me and a great many of other patriotic folks that want you to know more about Midway and the movie Midway, starring a great cast and at the Crossroads movie theaters starting at 11:30 a.m. on Saturday, the 23rd of November. All KVOI listeners are invited to meet at 10:30 in the lobby of the theater at 4811 East Grand Road, Grand Swan. Here's a chance to meet other patriots and free-loving radio listeners who like radio programs sponsored by Mike Emery at Perfection Auto Works. You can join Mike Emery and meet radio personalities Charles Heller of Liberty Watch, Brush Fire of Freedom, Sashawn, and Jeff Prather on his Sunday in show. And that is just absolutely marvelous. This event is a meet-and-greet, and it's not free. You'll enjoy capitalism by purchasing your own movie ticket and food and popcorn and drinks. Come join others like-minded Americans who talk and watch the new remake of the classic Battle Midway. The event starts at 10:30. Midway movie starts at 11:30 a.m. on the 23rd at Crossroads. If you have any questions, you call Sean at 780-8539. I'm going to be there. Everybody's going to be there. Mike Emery's going to be there. Tickets can be purchased the night of the 18th, and to absolute guarantee you a seat in line, go to crossroadstheater.com. Saturday the 23rd, we'll meet you at the Midway. We'll meet you at a great movie at the movie theaters at Swan and Grant Road. This is going to be a great event. I hope you'll join us all. Well, let's go now to Larry Bodine of Blog for Arizona. Larry, welcome to our show. Thanks for being with us. I appreciate it.
Thank you very much, John. It's good to be on the show.
This article you had on the gun shows, I think, was really powerful, whether people agree with it or like it or not. It was a powerful article. Talk about what you have told the people of Southern Arizona through Blog for Arizona about these gun shows.
Well, the problem with the gun show at the Pima County Fairgrounds is that felons, people with severe mental or disorders, or anybody who failed a background check can just go to the gun show and buy a weapon. All you have to do is just give your zip code and hand over some cash, and you know, these prohibited people have bought a gun. So the point that I'm making on behalf of a group called Citizens for a Safer Pima County is that we need to close the gun show loophole. You know, it's a place where hundreds of thousands of dollars of weapons are sold, and if you're buying from a federally licensed dealer, they will do a background check on you. But if, you know, John Doe shows up and has a AR-47 or AK-47 or AR-15 for sale, they will not do a background check. And so the point is that the gun show is a clear and present danger. It's basically arming the criminals and crazy people in our community. So what we're doing is calling on the supervisors to either come up with some way to close that gun show loophole, or if they can't do it, then just stop doing business with a gun show owner.
Can they legally do that? Can the county absolutely say, we're just not going to do business with you?
Yeah, the county could do that. They could say, we're just, you know, not going to do business with you. Unfortunately, there is a state law in effect that says that local jurisdictions like counties and cities cannot require a background check. So the state legislature has put that in place. But, you know, it gets back to, so then, you know, if you know the gun show is going to put all these guns in the hands of criminals, why have an event like that? You know, it's dangerous to public safety, you know, and there's absolutely no record keeping or no evaluating of the gun buyer. It's just, you know, have cash, we'll travel.
You know, let me tell you something, Larry. Of all the surveys I've seen or read, many people, almost a vast majority of people that belong to the National Rifle Association support background checks. There's never been anything confusing about the vast number of gun owners in America support background checks. Why can't this get done? I don't get it.
You know, I don't get it either. It's just sort of, you know, I mean, it shows you the influence of the National Rifle Association in preventing a bill in Congress. It's been sitting there for 6 months. that would require universal background checks, but you can't get a vote on it in the U.S. Senate. And efforts to try to overturn, you know, the permissive laws for guns in Arizona have completely failed. Same thing. The Republicans in the legislature just won't give the idea a hearing, even though local elected officials like Randy Fries, you know, repeatedly argue that, try to get a gun safety law on the floor of the legislature, but the Republicans block him every time.
You know, it's amazing. I've talked to Dr. Fries so many times. He's a trauma surgeon at University Medical Center. He said, just join me one night for my level one trauma responsibilities just on a Saturday night, and I'll show you one gunshot wound after another that'll turn your stomach. He said, the brutality of a bullet going through the body of a human being is so absolutely outrageous and damage that you can't even explain it. All you have to do is do the best to save somebody's life after they've been shot, and he does that every weekend. It's just amazing why we can't, have some experience that would say, you know, these shootings are absolutely preventable, and we don't do anything about it. So,
Most NRA members support the idea of background checks. So why this doesn't trickle down to the, the U.S. senators or the Republicans in the state legislature is a complete loss to me. The Alcohol, Tobacco, and Firearms Bureau says that there's about 5,000 gun shows every year. Anywhere from a quarter to half of the sellers are not licensed dealers. And that puts 26,000 firearms from legal into illegal commerce. So that's how many guns per year are getting out, according to the federal government, to people who shouldn't have guns, like domestic abusers and felons and people who've already failed a background check.
Let me ask you to talk a little bit about the Democratic primary and the next debate. We know O'Rourke's out. We've got others that are going to drop out soon.
Yeah.
What do you think the field's going to look like a month from now?
Well, Julian Castro, hasn't gained enough support to continue his campaign. He didn't make the list for the November 20th debate, and I like the guy. I think he's a good person, but he just hasn't gathered the support. And the fact that he's Latino has not made it, that particularly appealing to other Latinos. You know, Latinos will vote for people who are not Latino. So I see Castro dropping out. And, it really boils down to sort of what it's been from the beginning. There are three candidates that have support. And, that would be, I just got a New York Times survey today. Joe Biden, polling at 26% of voters. Elizabeth Warren, close behind at 20%. Bernie Sanders at 17%, and the rest are all in single digits or less than single digits.
You know, it's another message, too, that I think every Democrat's trying to pay some attention to, and that's Nancy Pelosi issuing a pointed message to Democrats running for president in 2020, saying these liberal ideas that fire up the party base are big losers when it comes to beating President Trump, and proposals pushed by Elizabeth Warren, Bernie Sanders, like Medicare for All, and a wealth tax pay well with liberal enclaves like her district in San Francisco, but they will not sell in the Midwestern states that sent Trump to the White House in 2016. Your take on Pelosi's take?
I'm not sure I agree with her on that. Medicare for All is not a radical idea. It's a very mainstream idea, and there was a survey that was just published by The Hill that said that 70% of Americans support Medicare for All. And it echoed the results from a couple of months earlier that Reuters took. And, John?
Yeah, I'm sorry.
Oh.
Go ahead. Yeah,
okay.
I apologize. Go ahead.
Yeah, no sweat. A majority of Americans like Medicare for All, and I think it's just become kind of a Republican talking point that, Elizabeth Warren is just too radical to be elected. Because when you go online and they have averages of surveys, and the one I always look to is what if the general election were held today, how would that turn out? And Trump would lose to Biden by 17 points. He would lose to Elizabeth Warren by 15 points, and he would lose to Sanders as well. And he would also lose to Buttigieg and Kamala Harris. So, you know, the Democrats are coming on very strong. I think the most of the electorate likes these progressive ideas. You know, it may be unclear how it's going to finally work out if you have private insurance, but Warren even went so far as to come out with a plan this week that would explain how she would fund it. And I think those ideas are much more popular than people like Nancy Pelosi.
What is the Bloomberg effect, do you think, Larry Bodine?
You know, he did this before in 2008 and 2016. He kind of flirted with running, and nobody's clamoring for Bloomberg to run. You know, a year ago, the guy was a Republican. He was elected as a Republican to be mayor of New York City, so he's not active in the party. He's going to skip all four of the early, you know, voting states, and the only thing he's really got going for him is he's a billionaire. And he can buy a lot of paid advertising, but that isn't going to buy you an electorate. And I think the big plus with having him in the race is it helps Elizabeth Warren, because you know, you got to ask yourself, well, which other candidate would be hurt by a Bloomberg election? And, well, you know, it might be Biden. It might be Pete Buttigieg. You know, both of them are kind of centrist moderates. But nobody wants Bloomberg. And I think, you know, we've already got a billionaire in the race. Tom Steyer's in the race. We don't need two of them. And neither of them have a groundswell of support. So, you know, I think it's just, you know, we'll be talking about this in 3 or 4 weeks, and Bloomberg will be, you know, no longer a topic of discussion.
Let me just take a quick break and come back with you. I've got much more to talk about, if you don't mind. Stay with me, Larry, please.
You bet.
Larry Bodine of Arizona, the progressive blog of the state of Arizona, back in just a moment.
See, butterball turkey, stuffing mix, mashed potatoes. Okay, that's the next aisle. This cart pulls to the right.
Why don't we take it to Perfection Auto Works? They fixed our car when it did that.
They don't work on shopping carts.
This is Mike Emery at Perfection Auto Works. Our free 26-point inspection makes most car troubles a distant memory. 323-8650 or at perfectionautoworks.com. 323-8650.
Concrete Done With Love has been Arizona's leading concrete contractor for over 40 years. Owner Kurt Lutzkin has built Concrete Done With Love to serve Arizona's biggest and smallest concrete jobs. Concrete Done With Love provides the best concrete placing and finishing that is possible, and doing it at a competitive price. The crews at Concrete Done With Love are craftsmen who take great pride in the aspects of their work. For the best concrete jobs in Arizona and the best price, call Kurt Luscombe at Concrete Done With Love, 639-9928. Concrete Done With Love offices at 1771 West Dairy Place, Tucson. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to the John C. Scott Political Forum on this Saturday afternoon. Larry Bodine is with us from Blog for Arizona. You know, I was talking with Jeff Rogers a few moments ago. We were talking about all the money thrown into the race for mayor, in which Raheena Romero, the winner of the primary and general election for mayor of Tucson, had outside money, perhaps as much as $1 million that she threw at her primary opponent, Steve Farley, the longtime legislator, and perhaps used much of it and the general election to defeat the independent candidate, Ed Ackerley. What about the dark money of Democrats? Is that as bad as the dark money for Republicans, or is it just different?
Dark money is dark money, and, you know, the fact that there's all these millions of dollars in unsourced, undisclosed sums of money is really bad for the election. This is why, you know, a lot of people are supporting the Outlaw Dirty Money initiative, which would require that any campaign contribution of $5,000 or more. So, you know, we're not talking about little donations. We're talking about people who have thousands of dollars to spend, you know, much less millions. You would have to report the person who originally earned the money. You know, you couldn't just say it's Americans for Prosperity, or some other front group. You would have to spell out the individual that actually earned the money. And the initiative is going after people who put in hundreds of millions of dollars in campaigns. You know, they're not looking to force a disclosure of people like me, you know, who I can afford a $5 or a $10 political donation, maybe 20, but they're going after the big donors who have money to sway an election.
Well, it seems to me that the Democratic Party is very reluctant to get in the middle of this one because obviously they have a mayor that's a Democrat, and it's a historic situation with the first Latina mayor and first Hispanic mayor in literally many, many centuries. So I think the Democrats are maybe afraid of the money, too, for that matter. But somebody ought to be strong enough to stand up and say dark money is dark money, whether it's Democrat or Republican, and it's wrong.
Yeah.
And it's wrong.
Well, I agree. I mean, you know, the worst Supreme Court decision was Citizens United, which allowed, which said that corporations are people, they have a right of free speech, and they can articulate that free speech by spending money. And the Supreme Court presumed that there would be a disclosure requirement, but that has never happened. And it's certainly hasn't happened in Arizona. It's, you know, clearly a big majority of people like Regina Romero. It's kind of time historically to have a Latina mayor, but I wrote an article on the blog for Arizona, you know, raising questions that a lot of little anonymous organizations gave money to the Romero campaign, and I just think it just undermines and sabotages the election system if you don't know who's spending the money.
You know, and I'll tell you one thing. Steve Farley's got to feel horrible about this, for he supported these particular people that gave that money, that third-party money out of county and out of city, for years, and unions, and environmentalists, and others who supposedly formed this huge group of donors that put a large number of dollars into the mayoral race. But Farley has supported all those causes, and they just knifed him in the back. I mean, he's got to be going, what was I doing all those years supporting these people? And they had no support for me. I think that I felt really bad for him because of that. You know, you have an entire career supporting the people that actually finished your political career. Just, I was outraged by it, to be very, very honest with you. It bothered me a lot.
Well, I don't think Steve Farley's political career is finished. You know, the guy spent 12 years in the state legislature, and he's got a huge well of support in Tucson, Pima County, and Arizona. I just think he needs to find the right office, and you know, he's there's a lot to being the right person at the right time, and I think there's a right time and right place for Steve.
Yeah, the idea that he lost that the Democratic primary for governor, and then turned around and ran almost immediately for mayor, obviously gave him two losses in a row in a very short period of time, which didn't help him. But I hope he's not dead politically. For the simple fact, he's a bright guy and he's a great guy and a very progressive individual that's done some marvelous things for Southern Arizona and could be recognized as really, I think, a great potential public servant in many roles that he could play. I hope he finds one. I really do.
Well, you know, there's a lot of offices out there. I think he's probably going to sit out the 2020 election. That's just my hunch. But I think he's just going to let a little time go by and sort of see what happens, to the electorate. I mean, what if the voters put in, changed just one or two elected officials and gave the Democrats a majority in the state House and the state Senate? You know, that would hugely change things. You know, and there are other offices. that were just captured by the Democrats, like Secretary of State, Secretary of Education, who knows if one of those statewide offices won't be a good spot for Steve Farley.
I agree. I absolutely agree. Tell me more about Blog for Arizona and what you do and why you do it and how people can support what you do.
Well, thank you. We're a citizen written and reported news blog. We focus on politics from a liberal point of view. You just go online to Blog for Arizona, and in Google you'll find it right away. Nobody gets paid on the blog. Everybody's a volunteer writer and reporter, so we rely on contributions to basically keep the website online, you know, pay for the servers, keep the hackers out, you know, all the things that are involved in keeping a big website ongoing. And we bring, you know, a liberal yet progressive point of view that you really don't get in the local papers. And we also cover a lot of events that take place in the evenings and the weekends that don't make it into the local paper. So if you want to sort of find out what the rest of the story is, we've got it at the Blog for Arizona, and we're grateful for every dime that we get in contributions.
Larry Bodine, thanks for being with us. We really, truly appreciate it. Thank you so very much.
Hey, you're welcome, John.
Good. Larry Bodine of Blog for Arizona. Well, we want to start informing you about a great event coming up here on the 23rd of November. It's Midway the Movie at the Crossroads Theater. Show starts about 11:30 in the morning. And all KVY listeners are invited to meet at 10:30 in the lobby of the theater. That's at Grant and Swan. Here's a chance to meet the Patriots of KVY, free-loving radio listeners who like radio programs sponsored by Mike Emery and Perfection Auto Works. You can join Mike Emery and meet radio personalities like Charles Heller of Liberty Watch, and, of course, John C. Scott, The John C. Scott Show, and Brush Fires of Freedom with Sean Hifine, and Jeff Prather. Jeff Prather is a great talk show host on Sundays. You can meet them all at the Crossroads Theater on the 23rd of this month. This event is a meet and greet. It's not free. You'll have to, be a capitalist and buy your own movie ticket and your food and your popcorn and your drinks. But come join others, Americans who like to walk and talk at the same time, and take a look at the remake of the classic battle, Midway. Event starts at 10:30 in the morning. Midway movie starts at 11:30. And if you got any questions, you can call Sean Hoffine, and that's 780-8539. Sean will answer all your questions, 780-8539. We're going to see you there the 23rd of November. It's going to be a great opportunity to meet you, and we can meet each other at the Midway movie. Crossroads starts at 11:30, but we'll be there at 10:30 in the morning on the 23rd of November. Hope you'll join us. We'll take a break and be right back. Save 40% on your dry cleaning bill at Tom Roof Cleaners at Fort Lowland Country Club. Mention John C. Scott on Saturdays and Sundays, and you'll save 40% on your dry cleaning bill. Drop off your wash and fold clothes and pay only 90 cents per pound. Tom Roof Cleaners reminds you that every garment is clean with using the patented Green Earth Cleaning System. The Green Earth Cleaning System leaves every garment soft and smooth to the touch without a dry cleaning smell. Mention John C. Scott at Tom Roof Cleaners Saturday and Sunday, and save 40% off your dry cleaning bill. Tom Roof Cleaners at Fort Lowland Country Club. There's never been a better feeling than improving your home furnishings for fall. And now you can feel a new sense of home and a place for your family and guests during this very special time of the year. We invite you to experience the true pleasure of shopping at Southern Arizona's largest selection of pre-owned and new quality furniture and accessories. You must visit the two neighborhood Homestyle Gallery locations, one at 1010 South Wilmot Road and the second at 2950 West Ina Road. Both stores are filled with over 15,000 square feet of beautiful furniture. Here you will find sofas and love seats, chairs and sectionals,
beautiful dining sets, and more. There's comfortable bedroom sets, dressers, and nightstands, modern, traditional, and antique. You'll find brands of Thomasville, Lazy Boy, Copenhagen, Broyhill, Bassett, and more. Consignment of fine furniture at Homestown Galleries is an opportunity to turn your once-loved furniture into cash. Call the consignment hotline at Homestyle Galleries, 572-9870. Homestyle Galleries at 1010 South Wilmot and 2950 West Ina Road. Open 7 days a week. Concrete Done With Love has been Arizona's leading concrete contractor for over 40 years. Owner Kurt Lutzkin has built Concrete Done With Love to serve Arizona's biggest and smallest concrete jobs. Concrete Done With Love provides the best concrete placing and finishing that is possible, and doing it at a competitive price. The crews at Concrete Done With Love are craftsmen who take great pride in the aspects of their work. For the best concrete jobs in Arizona and the best price, call Kurt Luscombe at Concrete Done With Love, 639-9928. Concrete Done With Love offices at 1771 West Dairy Place, Tucson.
My name is Bobby. I'm a veteran and lost my leg to a roadside bomb. My victory was going from a wheelchair to becoming a weightlifting champion.
I'm Sam. I'm a veteran. My victory was finding a career I can be proud of and supporting my family.
America's veterans are on their most important tour, the tour of their lives.
I'm a veteran. My victory was going from homeless to home.
At DAV, we're on a mission to help veterans get the benefits they've earned.
I'm a veteran, and my victory was finishing my education.
DAV offers veterans of all generations a lifetime of support. For victories great and small.
My victory was proving that disability is not a limitation.
My victory was getting my service dog a new best friend.
We help more than a million veterans every year as they face and conquer their challenges.
My victory is being able to be there for my family.
When America's veterans win, we all win. Help us support more victories for veterans. Go to DAV.org.
Not completing high school is more of a social thing than it was an academic thing. Even though all these years have passed, I still had that longing to have my diploma.
At age 30, Carissa finished her high school diploma.
If you're even considering getting your high school diploma, you can do it.
No one gets a diploma alone. If you're thinking of finishing your high school diploma, you have help. Find free adult education classes near you at finishyourdiploma.org. That's finishyourdiploma.org. Brought to you by the Dollar General Literacy Foundation and the Ad Council.
Here's an update from our producer, Matt Laus, producer of the John C. Scott Political Forum. Matt, welcome to the show, and thanks for being with us. Matt. You with us? Hi, Matt. Nope, he left. He's gone. Nope, what are you going to do? All right. We're trying to get a hold of him, no problem. You know, we the people of the United States, in order to form a more perfect union, establish justice, and to ensure domestic tranquility, and provide for the common defense, promote the general welfare, and secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and posterity to all, establish this Constitution for the United States of America. That was signed in convention September 17th, 1787, ratified June 21st, 1788. It's how it all began. There's a group of your neighbors and your fellow citizens in southern Arizona that believe we've started our own constitutional roots, and we have divided the nation left and right after so. We need to be able to listen to each other and solve our problems together. Divided, we fall. You're invited to be a part of the new political movement that places America first and party second. This is We the People, a party growing every day. Find out more. Go to We the People 50 U.S. That's We the People U.S. This message paid for by We the People, Tucson, Arizona. Here's Matt Laus. Excuse me. I'm all choked up when I see Matt on our line here. Matt, let's talk about Bloomberg. What's the effect of Bloomberg on the Democratic nomination process?
It's huge, John. Huge. I think you'll recall that I said somebody else is going to jump in. And I probably made that prediction about a month and a half, 2 months ago. And I remember saying it to you, and you saying, "Nah, there's no way. It's too late." I said, "You know, I don't know who it is. I don't know who's going to jump." But the feelings are that we have a very big problem here. We have candidates who can't seem to go to the center, and we have candidates who can't seem to draw enough support that they can fund their campaigns. I mean, Joe Biden is running out of money. I mean, $7 million is not a lot of money when you consider where he's at right now. I mean, like some of the other
candidates are talking about, he's spending it on private planes. I just don't see that his campaign is a wheel that is going downhill. It seems like a wheel going uphill, and it's running. It's been running into problems. He's been a lackluster candidate. And yet, he's the only thing that is close to being a centrist that the Democrats have. And while while his numbers still are well above Trump's in polls peer to peer, he's just not doing it for the party itself. He's losing. He's falling behind Elizabeth Warren and Bernie Sanders. And arguably, Pete Buttigieg is going to pull ahead of him. So what does that leave us? It leaves us a very fractured party. And Mike Bloomberg, doesn't see anybody he can support.
Well, I'm going to tell you that is probably the most spot-on reaction, I think, to what's been happening in the last 24 hours that I've heard. Matt Laus, thanks for being with us. Appreciate you taking us to the top of the hour. We'll talk again in the next hour. Appreciate you being on the show. Thank you. The portion of the John C. Scott Show originates from the Perfection Auto Works Studios. Thanks for being with us. We'll be back. Don Jorgensen, former chair of the Democratic Party, is up next. Now these messages and a world news report at the top of the hour.